online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. The ball's in your court, said Russian President Putin to President Trump as he handed Trump an official World Cup soccer ball. France beating Croatia for the cup yesterday in Moscow, 4-2. However, President Trump says he holds both parties responsible for our relationship with Russia. The meeting between the two leaders lasted much longer than expected. A good sign, says the two at a joint press conference. A wildfire that killed a California firefighter grew quick closure of a key route into Yosemite National Park as crews had to deal with sweltering conditions. The body of firefighter Braden Varney cannot be retrieved until at least today. Braden Varney was driving a bulldozer when he died Saturday. He's a husband, a father, a second-generation firefighter. The average price of regular grade gasoline in the U.S. fell a penny a gallon over the past 3 weeks to $2.94. Oil analyst Trilby Lundberg says that is 63 cents higher than a year ago. For more details, visit srnnews.com.
We'll see a mix of sun and clouds today and then a 50% chance of thunderstorms. Our high today, 91 degrees. Tonight, more thunderstorms are expected. Overnight, the low, 76. And for tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms again in the afternoon. The high tomorrow, 88 degrees.
Hey guys, it's Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. Hey, Brad and I will be ministering and spending time with our families for the next few weeks. So join us in listening to some of our listener favorites from this past year. We'll be listening to programs about sharing your faith, discipleship, and what it means to follow Jesus. We'll be back live in a few weeks, so have a great summer. And remember, whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary. Doug, he is risen.
He's risen indeed. And by the way, I'm Doug McCary, and you are who?
Exactly. Hey, it has been, well, let's see, we were off last week, so we did some best of. And if you're listening today, today is, what is today, April 2nd?
Today
2018.
April,
we're live.
April 2nd. Hard to believe we're already, dude, we're in the second quarter, right? Because we've passed through the first quarter.
Right. Yep, that's right.
That's wow.
Well, in fact, I saw some messages from some of my friends who live up north. See, New York had a big snowstorm yesterday, and we are enjoying about 80-degree weather.
Has it not been great for the last, I mean, I was talking to somebody this morning, and I said, man, I'm so glad I don't live in Seattle or New York, man, you know?
Well, we haven't really been together, at least not on air. We had breakfast together on, Thursday or Friday?
We had breakfast Thursday, which was crazy because I wasn't sure I was going to come. And some guy called me and, you know, a week ago, 10 days ago, I was in the operating room having my bones sawed off and a new titanium hip put in, man.
But you're looking good.
It's crazy how quick that you can recover. All I'm going to say is I'm glad they knock you out and you don't know. And I want to make a suggestion. Listen, if you're going to have surgery, do not go to YouTube and see your surgery because you can.
Oh, come on.
But
now,
you don't want to do that.
Did they post your surgery on YouTube?
Well, not mine in particular, but they show different types of surgeries.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I would highly encourage you not to do that because it's crazy.
Dr. Google, not a good place to go.
No, but I'm glad, very grateful to, Dr. Redmond did a great job on me. And, it's wild, Brad. They go in and they saw your hip off.
That is amazing.
And replace it. And that day you're walking with a walker. Mm. That day. Mm. The next day, I was walking with a rolling walker, and by the end of the day, I was with a cane, and basically, I'm off of a cane unless I'm walking with something or carrying something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. I mean, how quick you can recover. But if you're going to have surgery, find out what the rehab is and do what's called prehab. Do it before you go in. That really helps a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I found out what the rehab was for hip surgery, the type of surgery I had to have. And then I went in and basically for a month out, I started doing those exercises.
So, no kidding.
But, you know, it was good seeing you. It was good to be out. It's kind of different to be at a place where, you know, you and I are used to kind of ministering, just kind of sitting.
Loved
but
it.
Being around guys who just want to hear about the Lord. We were at Ponte Vedra Press listening to Derek Chambers, who used to play for the Jaguars. And mm-hmm. Here's what's funny. Derek came up to me afterwards, and unbeknownst to Derek, I've been contacted by Bob Tebow about leading a group over to the Philippines mm-hmm. this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek came up afterwards, and we didn't really talk much inside, but he just came up after and says, "Hey, do you ever go to the Philippines?" And I said, "Well, funny you mentioned that. I just got asked to lead a group over to the Philippines this summer and share the gospel in the schools." And he goes, "I'm going.
Hmm.
I'm going." And so, you know, had I not gone that day, mm-hmm. that conversation might, now he might have heard about it later, but still, you know, there was a reason, you know, that that guy called me and said, "Hey, you want to come with me to this breakfast?" And then I saw you. I didn't expect to see you. I thought you were out of town till today.
No, I got back in, I think Tuesday of last week. And then, of course, you know, when you're out of your market where you do business for more than about 3 or 4 days, which we were out an entire week. Went down to Clearwater for a few days.
Your daughter Hannah, won it like a gold medal, didn't she?
She did. And American Junior National Championship, something like that. But anyway, and then we took a couple of days and went down to Naples,
yeah,
where my mother-in-law goes for the winter. So not a bad place to by the way,
that's
for the
winter.
That's
a great place to have to go.
Well, in fact, we went down there, and it is so nice. And, I mean, the flowers are everywhere. And it inspired me to plant some flowers this weekend. So, you know, your hip's hurting, my back's hurting just from landscaping.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it is one thing that you're wild and you can't do anything. It's good to be slowed down sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really good, what I call a retreat day this past weekend, where I just basically took a Bible and took a couple of books that have been special over the years of men who went before us who loved the Lord, and just had some time praying and some time meditating and some time reading and praying and hearing, listening. I did something I hadn't done in a while, and I just took 30 minutes to be quiet and listen. No prayer.
Well, you didn't have any of your kids around?
No, Lori had taken the girls and went to Alabama, so I just was sitting around. So
I'm glad you took it. I'm serious. I mean, I'm glad you took it with that. You know, because I know you don't get that very often.
Well, you know, and you know what's hard, Brad, what I found, and I'm sure you find this too, that it's easy to look for excuses for sound or things to do, even when you have it. Mm-hmm. I found myself saying, okay, I have got to put the phone down. I've got to stop talking to people, and I've got to have some time with the one who matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of him, yesterday was Easter. And, you know, what a great just celebration. You know, people think in the United States there's a lot of misconceptions about Easter, or should we celebrate Easter? Any reason you can use to bring up Jesus Christ is a good thing to celebrate.
That's for sure.
And I think that, you know, around the world, whether they celebrate it for the same reason as you or not, you can explain to them why you celebrate Easter and why it's so special to you. But I was watching this special yesterday, and they were parading these Harvard, Princeton, Oxford people on this history expose on Jesus. And they came across sounding like they believed in him, but underneath it all was guys who believe that the Bible's corrupted. They don't believe it's God's word. And then you got on top of that, you got the NPR talking about, you know, National Public Radio talking about the reason we celebrate is that Jesus didn't die or go to hell or anywhere, but they talk about things in a way they don't know, because these things are all spiritually discerned.
Mm-hmm.
You can't intellectually discern them. I don't know if you saw any of those or
I did not.
It's just really, do you know who Bart Ehrman is?
I've heard of him.
He was a guy who's up at Chapel Hill in North Carolina, and I'll just tell you, he has done a lot of damage to, you know, we remember when we covered false teachers and talked about people who parade themselves as shepherds, but they're not. He is not a shepherd. Now, in fairness, he's brought up good questions. And, you know, sometimes we just give blanket answers and we've never even really thought through. So I think there's some good in thinking through questions. But it was sad to me to listen to the garbage that was coming out about the manuscripts being corrupted and all this stuff. Because ultimately what that's an attack on is the sovereignty of God, to say that what we have in front of us is not what he wanted in front of us. You know, I mean, because ultimately at the end of the day, they talk about some things removed, some things aren't. And I just think the enemy pounces on that and uses his other reasons for division between people and distractions from doing what we're really called to do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, but Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yeah. So
great weekend. I mean, just and I agree, Doug. I think any opportunity we have to engage with people about Christ, you know, Easter is something we ought to celebrate every day, you know, that he is risen. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yeah.
One of my favorite verses.
I mean, you know, one of the things, you know, Brad, I try to do every year. And I used to watch the Jesus film, and sometimes I'll watch that, you know, put out by Campus Crusade or Crew. But another film I like to watch is The Passion of the Christ. And it's pretty gory.
It's
pretty stinking gory.
But it's probably a more realistic picture of what really happened.
And I wept when I watch it, because I think so often we take for granted this sacrifice and this the humility that he went through. And I don't think we really, we get away from it, you know? I mean, there's times that we get moved, but man, when you think about the God of creation walking away from that and allowing, when I saw that Pharisee spit in his face and that guy pop him in the face, and I thought he could have whispered a word and that right to hell right at that moment.
We so desperately want to dress up Easter.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. By the way, speaking of films, went and saw Paul, Apostle of Christ, on Friday. In fact, Good Friday, one of the families, one of the couples that went to Israel with us, we went and did a noonday service. And then afterwards, went and had lunch, and then went to go see the movie, Paul, Apostle of Christ.
What'd you think?
It was amazing, Doug. I mean, as far as movies go, it was maybe a little slow getting going, but it was just beautiful.
So what impacted you most in the movie? What really, I'll tell you what impacted me after you
shared. There's so much. I think just right now, today, when I think back, I think the greatest impact was what Luke went through, what he risked to engage in a relationship with Paul. I mean, clearly, you know, you think about people you're close with. You and I are close. You know, if you had to risk your life to come meet with me, you know, you realize it's dangerous. I mean, Paul already accepted the fact that he's probably going to die in the
cell. You think about this. Think about Dawa. Or let's go to John Monger. This is a guy we know, right? When John Monger was in prison, I don't know. Do you remember me showing you a picture at that Global Nepali Conference of people that visited him in prison? There were believers that took him food, because it was a lot like in the olden days. If you didn't, people from the outside didn't bring you food, you didn't eat.
Wow.
And so they brought him food, and they allowed them to, but they risk being associated with him, you know? Mm. And so, yeah, I was struck by Luke and Paul's relationship.
But I think the other thing is, even in the midst of, and we'll probably jump into a little of that today, is that God is sovereign. He is orchestrating the events of our life, and he has got Paul in this prison. He's got Luke coming to visit him. And in the midst of that, they're able to minister the gospel to the leaders there in that prison. So
well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the movie By the way, Andrew Hyatt's already on our app and stuff. You guys can listen to. But we're going to talk about Paul this week. That's the essence of what we're talking about.
Great lead in. Hey, join us this afternoon, SWAT Radio, www.swatradio.com. We'll look forward to catching you after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. Good lead in there, Steve, on that music.
Celebrate.
It's a celebration. It is, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we celebrated Easter yesterday, so it was amazing.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I did want to mention, you know, there was an article in the Washington Post that hopefully this movie, Paul, will make more people want to go read the Bible to find out about Paul's life and Luke's life. But in this article that was written, there was one reference that said people that are more likely to understand a Harry Potter reference than a biblical reference. They interviewed some people, like they did some survey, and 10% of the people thought Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Is that not crazy? And I mean, that's just, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I think we have moved beyond obviously being a Christian culture. We're not a Christian culture. We're past that in this culture. And I think earlier, you know, in the year we talked about how this is the first high school generation that's going to produce more atheists than Christians in the classroom. And, you know, as believers, we have an opportunity to be a witness. And one of the things, Brad, that struck me about that movie was here was a guy who killed Christians. He was so dead set against the message, the messengers, and ultimately the one, Jesus Christ. And God saved him. He came in and redeemed him. And then you have I Can Only Imagine, which is the essence of that movie is he's saying, if God can save my dad, he can save anybody. He can change a monster. So both those two movies exemplify the power of the gospel. And they came out, Hollywood bought off on it, put them out, and they're in the top 10 in box office.
Are they really? I was going to ask you if you... So I haven't seen...
You haven't seen it? I Can Only Imagine. Oh, my gosh.
No, I mean, because you came in the day after you saw that. And Lori went and saw it and said there wasn't a dry eye in the theater.
It was something, man.
Isn't that really... You know, and I hadn't even seen the movie, but based off what you've told me, you know, and the story is that, hey, God is all-powerful. And if he's going to convert, you know, he not only calls, he chooses, he converts, and he brings change in our life.
He
and,
does.
Even the most wicked people you can possibly imagine.
Well, and
which we all fall into that category.
We are. And you and I both, we've shared some of our story on here. But I want to speak to our listeners for a second. First of all, you know, we primarily minister to men. That's our target, but we know there's a lot of women that listen, and we love having women listeners and callers and being a part of it. But Brad and I both feel passionate that the men of our culture, especially within the church, aren't leading the way God called us to. And one of our core missions is to call men to be the men God called us to be. So if you're a man and you are not shepherding your family and leading your family in a way that you know that God wants you to, it's never too late, first of all. And it's not going to happen apart from two things: God's word and his word. Actually, three things: God's word, the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
revealing that word and living in you, mm-hmm. and then accountability of other men.
Yeah. It is God's word, God's Spirit, that not only teaches you but empowers you.
Yeah.
And then the fellowship, the community of men.
And that movie brought out that community of believers, mm-hmm. even the community of Paul and Luke. But for the ladies who are listening, I just want to encourage you that if God can change Paul, if he can change Bart's dad, and I can mm-hmm. only imagine, and he can change, literally, he's changed millions of lives throughout time. He can change even the most stubborn person that you can't see it. So can I encourage you just to pray and to trust and to just never stop believing?
Well, you kind of threw that out there for those men who are listening in, and maybe you're wondering what, as God has called you to lead. I mean, I think one of the things, Doug, I don't know if you do this, I started doing this a while back, is every once in a while I'll ask my wife, how am I doing at leading spiritually? Not how am I doing it making money, how am I doing it mowing the grass, how am I doing leading spiritually,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it's a great inventory of your life. I mean, hopefully your wife is trustworthy enough to give you an honest feedback. Mine is, I guess after 30 plus years of marriage, I've asked that question a number of times. You know, I think it's critical that we as men who are the heads of our households are asking those we're leading, those we're shepherding.
Well, and the thing is, guys, let me just say, leading spiritually, at the end of the day, if you fall off the planet tomorrow, God brings you home or brings you in front of him, where it may not be home for you. Well, I don't mm-hmm. even know if you're a true follower or not, but if you are a follower and you stand before him, he is not going to be concerned primarily with how you took care of your kids' education fund, how good your kids did in athletics. He's not going to be concerned, even really, to be honest with you. I mean, it is something that's important, but what kind of home life did you have, as much as were you following him and were you a witness for him? Because he can take care of our families better than we can, and he's ultimately our provider. And I think sometimes, Brad, we forget that, and we begin thinking, well, if I just put in more time, mm-hmm. I can get this done. And we see spiritual opportunities like a Bible study or a men's group or even meeting one-on-one as a hindrance to my daily schedule instead of the right part and a priority on my daily schedule.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about building your life. Man, I want men around me who are going to encourage me, pick me up when I fall.
Yeah.
You know.
Because we're all going to fall, guys.
Well, that's, you know, I hate to break it to our listeners, but I have fallen a number of times. Praise the Lord that God put men around me, not perfect men, men who have fallen as well, who know how to reach down, pick me up. And I know you're the same way, Doug. We're just normal guys, sinful men. And this side of glory, we'll remain that way.
Well, you made a statement to me one time, Brad. We were talking, we were having a conversation off air, and I think people feel that way sometimes, whether it's you and looking at you, you're on the radio, or whether it's me, you know, on the radio, or we're teaching, mm-hmm. or whether, you know, and they go, well, I don't have some wild experience like a bird coming through my plane, or I didn't, you know, I wasn't an FBI agent or whatever. I think one guy told me, man, I'm just a nobody. Well, Jesus took a nobody. The problem with me is I was an FBI agent and I was a Marine pilot, and I thought that made me somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, it wasn't until he made me understand that I am a nobody, but in the world's eyes, but I'm a somebody to him. And everybody that he creates and calls to himself, to be his ambassadors is a somebody. And he can use everyone if you will simply say yes. The more you say yes to him, the more he's going to reveal to you, the more he's going to use you. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, if you pray, God, I want to share. I want more opportunities to be a witness. He longs to answer that prayer in our life.
Yeah, and it's not about your background. It's not about your career, your education, whatever it is. Listen, I've heard somebody say, I don't know if it's MacArthur said, you know, we don't come to the table with any ability. We simply come with availability.
Yeah, Paul said all that stuff's dung anyway, right?
It is.
I mean, he says all these things are nothing but poop.
The reality is your career doing, God may use that. He certainly has used that in your life. He certainly used multiple business ventures that I've been a part of to introduce me to people, but that's all it is.
And also to shape experiences in
our life.
Absolutely. And so, you know, when we talk about this guy, Paul, first we need to let people know he wasn't always called Paul. His name originally was Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Saul means demand. It means literally to demand. That's the name. That's what that name means. He was born in Tarsus, which was a part of Cilicia, and he was a Greek-speaking Jew, Brad, which meant that if you remember back from, I think it's Acts chapter 6, there was a problem with the Greek-speaking Jews being neglected, mm-hmm. and the reason they were neglected is because they were kind of looked at, the widows, I mean, because they were kind of looked down upon. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wonder if Paul might have had, when he was Saul, had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Because he had studied under Gamaliel, who was the grandson of Hillel, one of the great rabbis of all Jewish time. And so he studied under him. And he was a contemporary of Jesus. We don't really know a lot about his life prior to where he appears in Acts chapter 7. But he would have been in the temple around 13, about the same time Jesus might have been going to the temple. He might have known of him. Maybe that's why he hated him. He grew up hearing the Pharisees and their hatred of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a persecutor of the church. And, you know, I don't want to go into tons of background, but just real quick, Acts chapter 9 is his story of conversion. He's on this road to go get people. And Jesus encounters him and says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He didn't say, why do you persecute my followers? Why do you persecute me? And then Paul is taken. He goes, spends 3 years in Arabia. He goes he goes on three missionary journeys. And on one of those times, he's preaching and tries to kill him. And a Roman soldier steps in and kind of protects him. And when he protects him, Paul ends up addressing the group, and it gets even more out of control. So he takes him to Caesarea in front of Felix, who was like the governor of that time, of that area. He was the Roman governor.
Now, is it Caesarea Philippi?
Caesarea Maritime? No, Caesarea Maritime, which mm-hmm. you've been. Mm-hmm. It's right there on the coast. That was kind of like the provincial mm-hmm. capital. And then he's there in front of Festus in Acts chapter 24. Felix listens to his defense. He says, Paul, your great learning's driving you crazy. Come back to me, and I'll consider what you have to say later. Then he's replaced by Festus. He goes before Festus, and Festus goes, he's appealed to Caesar. I can't send him to Caesar without charges. I'll get Herod to come down here. And King Herod was like a puppet of Rome. He appointed the priest. He kind of oversaw the temple stuff as the king, but he was a puppet king. And when we come back from the break, I want to have you read Acts chapter 26, which is Paul's defense before Herod. And it's kind of like his testimony, his before Christ experience, how he came to Christ, and afterwards, and his plea with Herod. And that really is what we're going to be focusing on this week. Acts chapter 26, verse 2, all the way through the end. And
you'll get a good picture of what it looks like to tell your testimony.
Yes. And then they can go watch the Apostle Paul movie.
Don't miss it.
Yeah.
Don't miss it. I mean, I think that was one of the things I enjoyed about having Andrew Hyatt. Hollywood is not anti Christ. I mean, that, you know, they're just pro-profit.
Yeah.
And listen, if we want to see these kind of films, we need to go support them. And this is very well done.
A lot of biblical references. Very good.
Hey, join us after the break. 904-401-1413, SWATradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Despite the leaders of the United States and Russia both claiming a positive meeting in Helsinki, early reaction from congressional Republicans has been, no surprise, largely negative.
Speaker Paul Ryan saying the president must appreciate that Russia is not our ally. Florida's Marco Rubio calling Russia an adversary. Some longtime Republican critics are even tougher. Outgoing Arizona Senator Jeff Flake called the president's comments shameful. And Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Bob Corker said he didn't think this was a good moment for our country.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting Presidents Trump and Putin spoke at a joint press conference after their one-on-one and agree that if we're going to find ways to fix the problems of our world, then we will have to communicate and cooperate. There's plenty of work and the bosses are paying. Rita Foley reports.
It's good news for workers. Pay will be going up and there'll be more jobs. That's the prediction of business economists who were looking at the next 3 months. They were surveyed by the National Association for Business Economics, which says there's a shortage of labor, especially skilled labor, and that is causing firms to raise pay and increase training. One other thing employers are considering, says the NABE, more automation. I'm Rita Foley.
A wildfire that killed a California firefighter grew quickly, forcing the closure of a key route into Yosemite National Park as crews deal with sweltering conditions. The body of firefighter Braden Varney cannot be retrieved until at least sometime today. Braden Varney was driving a bulldozer when he died Saturday. He's a husband, a father, a second-generation firefighter. The death of a wounded fox today brings to 9 the number of animals that died after a jaguar escaped from its habitat at the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans. An alpaca and another fox died Sunday, the day after the male jaguar. Valerio killed 4 alpacas, 1 emu, and 1 fox Saturday morning. He was captured after an hour, returned to its house after being sedated. SRN News.
We're still accident-free, but some roadway debris remains on I-95 northbound before Gulf Air Boulevard. That's blocking the right lane. That will be slowing you down. Also, a disabled vehicle on I-95 southbound just before Bay Meadows Road, and another disabled vehicle on I-10 eastbound just before the First Coast Expressway. Scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Tuesday will start out partly sunny, I-90.
Had a great Easter celebration, and hopefully you can hear us. We're having some problems in the studio, but nonetheless, listen, I hope it was a rejoiceful, celebratory Easter Sunday for our listeners out there. By the way, we'd love to hear from you if you want to call us today. Maybe that last segment, you can give us a call at 904-401-1413. If you want to call in, tell us how your Easter was. If you're outside the Jacksonville area, you can call 1-844-777-7928, and we'll go from there. You can tune in to SWATradio.com, listen live as well. And anyway, so I know, Doug, we're looking at Acts 26, where we'll spend most of our time this week.
Yep, we're going to be there. I can hear it myself. Can you hear me? I'm booming right there, man. That's wild. Okay. So anyway, we were talking about Paul and going into this passage today. And in this passage, there's three things that we're going to look at this week. Primarily, we're going to focus on the first. And Brad, I think it's important to understand that even this first principle here, that God calls us to be a witness, even though this world and his plan may include pain, persecution, prison or death. Now, think about it. If I say, hey, Brad, there's an opportunity for us to go down to the homeless next week and take some food. And that's what I would call a very low risk ask. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you go down there, you know, or hey, you know, we're going to be handing out, you know, flyers in the neighborhood or something. But if I said, hey, Brad, you know what? It's illegal in Bhutan for us to preach the gospel and carry in Bibles. Would you go with me next week? I really feel God leading me to go over there. And you go, well, I have to think about that a little bit, you know, just pray. I want to make sure. Truth is, we should pray about every opportunity. But God calls us to be a witness, even though this world and his plan, and a lot of times this world and his plan may include pain. It may include persecution, prison or death. And a lot of times those things tend to keep us from being a witness.
Well, I think of, by the way, I think you can hear me now.
Yeah.
And to our listeners, that disconnect there in the beginning of this segment was my fault, Doug. I looked up and I noticed I disconnected a wire up here. So sorry
Steve,
about that, Steve.
Sorry about that, Steve.
Steve's over here jacking with everything.
Steve's trying to bang it. He's got a hammer over there.
Anyway, sorry. My bad. You know, it makes me think of the idea that you're going to count the cost of following Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Count the cost of following Christ. Whether it is pain or persecution or prison or even death.
Mm.
And Doug, you asked me earlier about the movie Paul, Apostle of Christ. You know, what stood out? There were a lot of things that stood out. But I think for me what stood out the most is the reality that following Christ in that time and in that place very easily could have cost you your life. And did.
It absolutely. And that's the thing. But there was this amazing calm portrayed, which I think probably was realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's.
Well, and I thought the way the movie kind of ended with Paul's head basically in the, whatever that's called, a guillotine or whatever.
Well, it was an axe. Yeah. The guy just whacked it off, man.
You know, unlike some of the other people who were basically, strapped to a pole. Poured hot whatever grease on them or whatever they put on them.
They burned them alive. A Roman candle, man.
Yeah, that's brutal. So anyway, I know I want to get into the reading for
today. Yeah, because it's long. It may take you the rest of the program because it's such a... hey, bear with us because here's the thing. It is the Word of God and it's Acts chapter 26 and it's verse, I think, 2 is where he's going to start. And this is Paul, again, Paul's defense before Herod. And he lays out his story, and this is a guy, and we'll talk about this after Brad reads, who has been stoned, he's been shipwrecked, he's been beaten numerous times, and this is a man who is requested to go to Rome. He appealed to Caesar, and now he has an opportunity to defend himself and basically be freed,
and
they
said. But he uses that. As an opportunity to preach the gospel.
So read that, Acts 26, 2 through 32.
Well, and so verse 1 begins, because I think it's interesting. Agrippa says to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself.
Hmm.
Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. And here's where it begins. Verse 2, I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known from time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only looked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Verse 12, in this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. Verse 24, and as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. But Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Verse 30, and the governor of Bernice, the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them, and when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
Wow. That in light of what we shared earlier, in Acts 21, the crowd wanted to kill him. Hmm. It says they wanted to tear him apart, according to the Roman soldier. In Acts 23 and 24, there was a conspiracy. 40 people took a pledge of not eating until they had killed Paul. Hmm. Paul knew about this. His nephew told him about this. And so instead of getting before them and bringing up anything to save his own skin, he was wanting them to hear and know about Jesus. Hmm. And that should be our driving force, whether we're at work at a place we don't like, whether we're, and I've talked to many guys in my life who have been, I'm the only Christian working at my place and it's terrible. And they're missionaries, yeah, but they don't absolutely see themselves as missionaries. And so, I know we want to be around other people, but Brad, when we come back, we'll finish up. And, maybe you've been around somebody who's you thought was unsavable, and then God changed their life. Give us a call this last segment. I'd love to have a short witness testimony or something. If you're listening and there was that Paul or person that you thought could never be saved, that maybe that happened to. So.
Amen. Hey, call us 904-401-1413. Or you can call us at 1-844-777-7928, SWATradio.com.
If you'd like to call, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. And, you know, I was thinking about the reality, obviously, after reading that passage and coming off of Easter, where, you know, you think about God calls us to be a witness, even though this world and his plan may include pain and persecution and imprisonment and death. And if you haven't gone to see the movie, Paul, Apostle of Christ, let me encourage you. I went and saw it with my wife this weekend and another couple that we went to Israel with, and it is a powerful movie. And, you know, I'm thankful. We had Andrew Hyatt on a few weeks ago just before the movie came out, and he was the writer and director of the movie. And it was a strong testimony of the reality that God does call us to. He is going to put us in positions. He's going to put us around people, Doug. He's going to put us in people in positions and around people who are going to reject the gospel, and it's going to cost you something. It may cost you your reputation or your so-called reputation.
Well, and what's interesting to me is you read that, and I don't know if you when you picked up on it when it said kick against the goads.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what a goad was.
Yeah,
I had to look
that?
It up. A goad is a stick or something used to beat an animal, like when you're trying to get an animal to work for you, like a mule mm-hmm. or a cow
okay.
or something. And so when an animal kicks against the goads, it's saying, I don't want to do it. I'm not liking that. And so anyway, when he says, why are you kicking against the goads? He's saying, you know, this is the way.
Mm.
This is the way that you're going to go, Paul. And Paul's, you know, it's interesting. Later in life, Paul says, I did that in ignorance. Mm. He didn't know for whatever reason.
Right. His eyes weren't open.
But when he had an encounter with Jesus, from that point on, he followed it.
Well, and you think about that, and we've got a caller I want to pick up on. But the reality is, and Doug, we've talked a lot before we took our little spring break, is why are we not witnessing out
yeah.
there? You know, if Christ has so impacted you, he has saved you for eternity
mm-hmm.
to be with him, that ought to get us so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
That we're so anxious. And listen, be anxious for nothing, but I say be anxious to share Christ with people.
Yeah. And you Paul, and, well, Paul did, and he's in, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
But what people need to understand is, and this is what I loved about the movie, it brought out the humanity of Paul.
Hmm.
Listen, in 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. You're talking about a guy who was to the point of wanting God to take him off the face of the earth. And yet he knows that while he's here, he is to be a witness. And so we cannot let the enemy paralyze us. And Paul had people around him. And so if you're listening and you've been taken, maybe you're wounded, maybe you're out of the battle, maybe you're a spectator sitting on the sideline. You know, God did not create you to leave you on the sideline. And there's nothing wrong in telling somebody that you know loves the Lord to say, hey, can we talk? Just can we talk? There's people out there. We're here. There's people that there's resources that you can reach out to, but don't waste your time being discouraged, despairing of life. Be around people that are on mission that can help encourage you. I've been discouraged. Brad has been discouraged, and we both had the benefit of people building into us to get us refocused, and that's what we need sometimes.
So. Yeah, we as men, we like to isolate ourselves, don't we?
Yep.
Well, listen, hey, Mark, are you out there?
I certainly am, waiting for you to speak with me.
Hey, glad to have you, and thanks for holding on, man.
Oh, no problem. I, too, saw the movie Apostle Paul, but unfortunately, I was disappointed in one aspect when they essentially told the story of Paul's conversion. If you remember, Acts 22:16 says this, Ananias came to Paul, and after he'd been praying for 3 days and three nights, and he hadn't eaten anything or drank anything, he told him, he said, Paul, what are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I'm a believer that believes that faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, all of which are necessary for salvation. To hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. To believe the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. To repent of one's sin, Acts 2:38. Not only that, to confess one's sins before men, Matthew 10:32 and 33, and Romans 10:9 and 10. And finally, to be baptized into Christ, as it says in Galatians 3:26 and 27. For you're all the children of God, faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Why don't we teach that today?
Well, what were you disappointed in the movie about? Like, what aspect?
Yeah, because we don't disagree with you.
I don't disagree with anything you just shared. And I was kind of, you know,
don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the movie. Okay.
No. But you said that there was. I'm just trying to understand because I was kind of. I'm glad they showed like a baptism of Paul. Kind of, you know, they obviously nobody knows what it looked like right then, but they just showed Paul in water or the guy playing Paul in water. I was pretty happy that they had as many biblical references in the movie as they did. Most of Paul's lines were biblical scripture. You know, he just was quoting scripture.
I agree with that. You know, the Word of God is quick and powerful. You know that, Hebrews 9:4-12. So I think that more often than not, we need to quote the Word of God as the authority. Jesus said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. But oftentimes we want to quote people's opinions about the Bible and teach people what people say about the Bible, what the Bible says about people. And ultimately, I was a little bit disappointed with the fact they didn't show Paul's conversion in terms of how Paul recounts his own conversion in the book of Acts. I'm at 64 years of age after kidney transplant, open heart surgery. I'm taking the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit, the Pentateuch, and Isaiah and Jeremiah in Lakeland, Florida, the school of preaching. And all I want to do is share the gospel with people before I die. For me, the gospel is three things, the death, burial, and resurrection. How do I contact the death, burial, and resurrection? And my own death, according to Romans 6:1-6. I sure appreciate your time, and I thank you for taking.
Thank you for calling in. You know, I do. One thing, you know, Brad, you and I tried to shoot a video one time, and it was just a little 5-minute video, and it was so difficult. One of the issues when you're trying to shoot a movie in a 2-hour period and encapsulate such a pivotal person in the Bible is I don't think you can encapsulate everything. You and I were talking about some of the things that stood out to us. The thing that stood out to me was Paul's witness, even though, and that's really what you just read in Acts 26, that even in the midst of prison, even in the midst of being, you know, one of the things that was brought out in Acts chapter, I think, 9 was that Paul was going to be an instrument before rulers.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is, yep, being fulfilled by the end of the book. He's before Herod. He's before Felix. He's before Festus. He might have been before Caesar. We know there were people in Caesar's household saved. So Paul was a witness. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we going to be a witness like this brother who just called in, like Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Kidney issues, heart issues.
Well, I think Mark, he's not with us anymore. He's not on air, but I think the reality is, you know, God's going to bring you through some areas of your life where you're going to be confronted with the reality that this time, your time on earth is short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of friends of ours, Doug, who in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks have gone home to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Earlier than they should have, or earlier than we think they should have. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, life on earth is short. And even Mark, you know, said it based on what he's experienced in life. He wants to proclaim the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I want and what you want. It's what we should all want. I mean, if you knew you had 30 days left to live, what would you be compelled to do? And I think this is a really good diagnostic question for us. Mm-hmm. If we think, well, I need to make more money for my grandkids, that tells us where a priority is. Well, I need to spend more time with my family. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't spend time
with
family.
Those are good things.
Those are good things. But the bottom line is the thought that goes into my head is, oh my goodness, I'm fixing to appear before my Lord and my King. And I look back at my life, I could have done so much more. It's like Schindler and Schindler's List.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have saved so many more people. Galatians 6, Paul says in 6:17, for I bear on my body the marks of Christ. And when I saw that movie and the scars on his back, or the wounds, and I thought of John Monger, you know, he pulled his shirt off when he was over in the Israel, and he's got scars on his back, mm-hmm, from when he was beaten, mm-hmm, for Jesus. And, you know, would we take scars? You know, would we be a witness in the midst of that? Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 lays out a ton of things. Brad, I mean, you've heard me mention it before, all the things in 25 through 29 that he endured, you know, when he, you know, all, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes. That means 5 times he got whipped with 39 lashes.
Hmm.
I mean, think about that. He got 3 times he was beaten with rods, just beaten. He was stoned. All these different things he went through. And in that same book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5, at the beginning, in verses 1 through 4, he talks about this body is a tent. It's a temporary shelter. What are we holding on to? You know, what do we really see as valuable?
what are the good things, Doug, that we've made God things?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, because we talk about family, work, grandchildren, relationships, and we have made those preeminent.
We have. And, you know, I think about what Mark was saying. And I was so glad, Brad, all of Paul's lines almost in the movie were, mm-hmm, scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And but he was a witness. And I thought about Hebrews 11, you know, over in Hebrews 11, 36 and 37. Others suffered. You know, Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter, mm-hmm, right? All the people. Others suffered mocking and flogging, chains, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. But then he goes in 12:1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside all these weights and let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's just be fixed on him and be a witness for him.
And lay aside these things. I think this goes back to this, take an inventory of the things in your life that are weighing you down,
yeah,
that are keeping you from sharing your faith with others.
Yeah, so fix our eyes on him like that king in 2 Chronicles. Lord, I don't know where to look, but my eyes are on you.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, so tomorrow we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll join us tomorrow, www.swatradio.com, and we'll dig right back in.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWAT Radio.